Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, we're covering it, so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Grace and peace. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Hallelujah. Welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters. I'm Gerald Israel of the Commonwealth of Israel. And this afternoon, we have Rob Christensen with Visible Secrets and Invisible Powers segment. Visible Secrets and Invisible Powers. Brothers and sisters, you got to understand, you got a lot of invisible powers at work, and they got a lot of visible secrets that's not seen. So you have to pay attention to your surroundings. Pay attention to your double meanings. Don't just look at everything as you being fed through your ears and through your eyes and through your mind's eye. Look at everything once, twice, and maybe three different dimensions. I would look at it four dimensions before I come to a conclusion. Today's discussion is power structure history. Power structure history and hidden mysteries. Power structure, this is today's topic. Power structure history and hidden mysteries. So King James Version, this is the scripture for the day. The scripture of the day. Where is it? Where is my scripture?
It's right there.
I can't get to it. I know. Okay. Thank you. All horns of the wicked. Thank you, Rhea. Rhea also. Sister Shalom to Rhea Israel. Please forgive me, Rhea. She's working aboard today. The scripture today is, all the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Understand that. The horns of the wicked is their power. But then the Lord said, I'm going to exalt the power of the righteous. So make sure you're on the side of the righteous, because the wicked will be cut off. So with that being said, we're going to thank everybody. Turning over the precept to our brother, Rob Christensen. Good afternoon, Rob.
Good afternoon, Ernest. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. You're loud and clear.
Good. Yeah. Well, I'll start with a little dark humor, since we've had so many dark days here in Minnesota. I started this whole cause of climate engineering a couple years ago, and I've always felt that, you know, the military, as they're the number one polluters, number one destroyers, you know, our U.S. military, not that there aren't other threatening militaries, but we are the number one polluters. So I've approached, as I found out about climate engineering, environmental groups, and I got very little response. And in a letter, I said, you know, with a little dark humor, why do we mow the lawn when the house is burning down? In other words, you look out west, there's fires. You look in Siberia, there's fires. And the chief cause of these fires, without a doubt, in my opinion, is climate engineering. And so spraying the skies with metallic nanoparticles to manipulate the weather using the invisible power of microwave technology to interact with these particles and create the drought and deluge. So again, you know, when I wrote this letter to the leader of Minnesota 350, I said, why mow the lawn when the house is burning? You know, we can do incremental changes. We focus just on carbon and, you know, the pipelines in Minnesota. I applaud those efforts, but we have to wake up to the power structure and what they are doing. If we don't, you know, this earth is in real trouble. And I guess along the same lines, you know, there's drought and fires, there's deluge. Why row the boat merrily along when it's leaking? Or why use technology to plug up one leak and then we create several other leaks with technology? When I was in the science fair, March for Science, Earth Day 2017, it was really interesting because so many people look at scientific technological solutions for saving the environment. Yet, if you look at what technology has done, people are still looking falsely at climate engineering. You know, that's a big hoax that they propose that, you know, we can manipulate the skies as if we've never done it before. Well, we've done it for the last 70 years, and it's only though it does lead to temporary cooling, the scientific term solar radiation management, underneath it all there's weather warfare and there's extreme poisoning of the air, water, and land. So, again, it's a technology that, like a leak in a boat, it's only created multiple leaks in the boat. And yet we go rowing along as if we don't know about it. So that's my dark humor. But to review a little bit about the last interview I had with you, Ernest, and with the group, I talk about power structure and as a very lethal system that we're trapped in right now. The power structure of the United States, the power structure of Russia, China, the larger the power structure, the more lethal. And America by far has the most powerful power structure. We have a military-industrial complex where the military is 10 times larger than the next 10 on Earth combined. So, again, number one polluter, number one employer, number one user of fossil fuel. And yet, so little is being done to address the destructive influence our society, our power structure is having on the web of life and all the life support systems. And Ernest, you might remember in the last conversation we had, we talked about the psychopath characteristics of people in power. Do you remember?
Yes, sir, I do.
Yeah.
Some would say we have a psychopath in power now, but I digress.
Right. And, you know, whether it's, and that's the point, this dichotomy of Republican, Democrat, this ongoing war, it becomes such a distraction because the point of it is whether it's Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or George Bush, right on down the line, it doesn't matter which side you're on. They're part of this destructive society. The influence of, you know, what we do on the nation and how the biosphere collapses, that should be frontline concern. And yet we get this political theater that goes on that distracts us from what we need to address. So I talked a little bit about 9/11. I talked a little bit about climate engineering, you know, as it relates to the power structure, more of the present. I want to go into the, you know, I want to go into the history of how this power structure in the United States develops to become so powerful, yet so hidden in the shadows. In our last dialogue, I mentioned the Hare study. And that was a study that was to study criminals, to study psychopaths, you know, people that are in jail. How do they, what kind of personality characteristics do they have? And what's really alarming about the Hare study is they've discovered that, you know, many highly intelligent people are psychopaths. They're, you know, some of the characteristics, glib, superficial, grandiose, lack of remorse, guilt, those were things we reviewed in the last session. And people in power tend to score high on this psychopath instrument, this the 20 or so characteristics that you can measure as to how much a person is psychopathic. So I just wanted to bring that point out. So now I want to go into a little bit of the history with a man named Edward Bernays. He dates back to the Woodrow Wilson era. He was a young man at the time, and he was a revolutionary. And by the way, he was the nephew of Sigmund Freud. So he knew a lot about psychology. And, you know, there's some other key proponents of the psychology of moving people. And that's what Edward Bernays was such a master of doing. And unfortunately, this man lived a long time, developed these secret means to manipulate the masses, so to speak. So I'll talk more about him as to what power structure really is and how it's become such a dark tool to create the wars that we face. So I got to fine through my notes a little bit here. I did want to introduce Dane Wigington once again, though. He's the person that has provided so much background and so many resources that's allowed me to find out more about the power structure. But his overview, I'll share in quotes. I think it's very profound what he has to share, so just follow along with me, and you can ask some questions as you go along. But he says, the question, how do the have nations, those that have an abundance, treat those nations and people that do not have? Consider this quote. The so-called civilized have created the wretched quite coldly and deliberately and do not intend to change the status quo, are responsible for their slaughter and enslavement, rain down bombs on defenseless children whenever and wherever they decide, that their vital interests are missed, and think nothing of torturing a man to death. These people are not to be taken seriously when they speak of the, quote, sanctity of human life or the conscience of the so-called civilized world. Well, I think many of the listening audiences, if you think about it, many of our leaders so prominent and in the public and in the media, whether they're presidents or ambassadors or secretaries of state, are part of this. You know, they're the mouthpiece for this so-called civilized society. But again, you know, there's so many false flags in history, whether it be the Gulf War or 9/11. And again, 9/11 we touched on in the last session as part of this hidden cost to society where that event helped galvanize so many wars in the Middle East towards you know, get dark forces to gather more resources. You know, it's enabled us to receive more oil in this country. So anyways, that quote was from James Baldwin back in the 60s. He was a great civil rights leader. And Dane goes on to say, given the history, bloodshed, oppression from countless countries' power structures throughout human history, including the USA, how can so many maintain their delusion of American exceptionalism? Have those who hold this patently false perspective completely deleted any and all memory of our country's actions from the very beginning, starting with Native American people, slavery, or the subsequent occupation of nearly 100 countries in the last century? It is time to take a good look in the mirror. There comes a point, in the words of Martin Luther King, when silence is betrayal. That point has long since come and gone. How many are still silent? The world is unraveling on countless fronts. And again, Dane uses the words biosphere collapse, happening. So it's news we don't want to hear, but need to know if you have any interest in making a difference for the better while we can. So, you know, what I speak of is very dark, but I don't want people listening to give up hope. There's plenty of reason for, there's an undercurrent with people. In earnest, when I talked to you earlier, I used the example, recent example of the Google employees. Many, over a couple thousand, I believe, signed a petition against what we can do with drones. Google was getting involved in these lethal drone killings. A number of employees quit Google. So, you know, it's people within the United States, the most powerful nation ever on earth. We are the ones that can turn it around. And it doesn't take that many people. The invisible powers of the power structure, those people are, they may put on a powerful front, but they are not invincible. And I think as crazy weather happens, people are going to start questioning, how come? What is going on? What's making these crazy events happen? And that's why it's so compelling for me to share about the fact that, hey, don't just blame everything on nature and climate change. What is a main cause of climate change? Can we actually manipulate the climate? Those are such important questions to ask today. Did Building 7 of 9/11, it fell in 7 seconds, you know, 7 in time, 7 in name. And yet office fires caused it. So we need to start connecting the dots, and that's my motivation, you know, to share today. Okay, finally, I'm getting to this man, Edward Bernays. I want to define, sorry if I'm a little out of place. I wanted to define, again, power structure around the 50s. It's a system of authority, of influence in government, politics, education, etc. The people who participate in such a system. The U.S. is not the only power structure. The rule of thumb, again, the more powerful, the more destructive. So, you know, the local weather forecast, for example, the local weather forecaster, they are bound to non-disclosure. They are not able to do their own independent forecast. And they're all, you know, in many ways, our weather people are script readers. That's my belief. You can investigate this. Those listening, I ask you, encourage you to investigate this fairly quickly and efficiently from geoengineeringwatch.org as to how greatly we manipulate the weather, how artificial the weather has become. And I also wanted to try something, Ernest. I hope you can hear, but John F. Kennedy, you know, shortly before he was assassinated, talked about the power structure. Before I get into Edward Bernays, I want to see if this works. I'll play a tape of Kennedy as he speaks to the press about shadow government, about how we in a democracy should act against secrecy. So I hope this can be heard all right.
If you, I'll let you know, just if you can, if you can, you know, make sure you can hear me, and I'll let you know to turn it up or down. But
okay,
is this the Kennedy interview he had in front of the International Press Conference in 1964?
Yes.
And he was talking about Okay, that definitely needs to be heard. Okay, all right, let's see.
That was tremendous. Okay, here we go. Hope it works.
The very word secrecy is republic in a free and open society. And we
okay.
are as a people.
Rob.
Yes.
If you can hear me, turn it up just a little bit.
Turn it up?
Yeah, turn it up just a little bit more. Try it again.
All right. Well, it's at its maximum, but I'll just take my hearing piece off and I'll get it closer.
Okay,
my Bluetooth.
And hysteria, opposed to secret societies, the secret oaths, and the secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the.
It sounded, at first, when you first started out, we could hear it really good, then it got low again.
Oh, that's strange.
I just heard it say secret society and so forth, and he was going in, but then the microphone went low.
Yeah. Okay, well, it was worth the experiment. I can fix it next time, but
I will post that interview. In fact, I'll post that speech on a Blog Talk thread.
Oh, good. Yeah. That is one of the most profound speeches. So, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
When he actually went in on the secret societies and you know, being the president of the United States, that's unheard of, that he would actually identify there is a secret society. You know, now one thing is, you know, identifying the New World Order. Okay, we get that. But to identify a secret society that is trying to keep information from the public, that was unheard of, and he went there. And that was a phenomenal speech. I've listened to that quite a few times, and to this day, I still get goosebumps hearing it because it was probably one of the reasons, may not be the main reason, but one of the reasons why he's not here or why he did.
Yeah, he did not get along with J. Edgar Hoover of the CIA. They were mortal enemies. And whether it's the Cuban crisis, you know, they were always at odds. There was just some insane power moves that were, you know, attempted, just flagrant, undemocratic ideas that they were cooking up at Kennedy.
You know,
bought.
You was talking about that borderline insanity that most leaders have, or most, you know, mostly, you know, some would say Hitler had it, you know, some would say that he had it, and that's part of the reason why you had a World War II. You know, one, and because of that mind state, but it wasn't just him. You know, Napoleon Bonaparte had it. You know, he was no different. You know, Napoleon Bonaparte was just as, you know, as insane as any other great king.
Oh, sure.
Or you can go back to Alexander the Great, or, you know, Pompey, or Julius Caesar. You know, you can go into
yeah.
them. You know. Yeah, what is Antiochus Epiphany? You know, this mindset is one that is of tyranny. You know, it's a fearless mindset, and that it would do anything to obtain power, even if it means to kill its own people. You know,
you got
and,
it. Right.
And when you start talking about mass genocide of its own people, to get a point across just so that you can perpetuate an agenda.
Yes.
That's more than narcissism. You know, that's psycho, like you said, that's psychopath. That's psychopathic. You know, when you read about the kings of the Bible, they love the people and they love the poor and they tried to keep the people out of harm's way as often as they possibly could. But
yes.
the kings that were right, but the wicked kings, like you said, they have this spirit of insanity, pathological.
Yeah.
What word am I looking for?
Psychopathology, psychopath.
Thank you. Right, psychopathology. That's the word I'm looking for. You got a lot of our leaders within the last 100 years actually demonstrate that mindset or that spirit. I'm not far to say what happened with the 9/11 was a part of that mindset. You know, of course, and beyond. You know, Pope Gregory the Pope, not Pope Gregory, but Pope Pius, 1430.
Okay.
He the one that sanctioned slavery, you know, and said that it was all right to bring another man into slavery for no reason, you know. So that's insane, you know.
Yeah.
And yet it was founded in the church. That spirit was in the church
yeah.
up under the one of their greatest popes ever. You know, this guy was Pope
yep.
for like 30 years, you know, so
okay.
so it was a lot. It's, that spirit is heavy amongst the people. And when you look at the history of man and when it comes to rulership, you know, the word of God tells us,
no.
you know, touch not the anointed and do my prophets no harm. Don't even touch the kings. I don't care how wicked they are. Don't touch them. But in the world outside of the word of God, they kill a... They was killing kings in the Greek Empire every 10 or 15 years just to take power.
Yeah.
As soon as they get enough manpower, they try to take the throne from them. And this is just the way it is. So to
yes.
keep from killing kings in the 21st century, they just let them sit on the throne for 4 years or maybe eight, you know, if
uh-huh.
they good old boys, so to say, but... That mindset is
yeah.
relevant this day, and it's not to be taken lightly. It's, and try your best not to misunderstand it. It's very real.
Yeah, well said. You brought, you know, you created this context for what we're talking about. It's power structures throughout history. You know, like the quote from James Baldwin and Dane Wigington that I just said. You know, this is USA just is among them. It's just that we're the largest empire ever, and our impact is to the point now we're at a juncture where it's, you know, critical to get awareness, and it's critical to have a positive attitude that we can. There's an undercurrent there, and if we create enough spot fires, we can take a quantum leap forward, and just maybe it will be anarchy. I don't know what the word is. But for people to recognize what's happening and do something about it. Well, to get back to the history of how our shadow government power structure formed, or the shadow government within the power structure, there's a website called Storm Clouds Gathering. and I can't remember the author's name, but it's still there, Storm Clouds Gathering. It's a 40-minute video, Rule from the Shadows. And the principal proponent of the shadow government is Edward Bernays. He's a man who lived a pretty long life, his entire life, overseeing this shadow government. He had a great impact. So let's start with the Woodrow Wilson era, League of Nations, World War I, Treaty of Versailles. That's where so much has happened and continues to happen with the likes of people like, you know, our presidents, John Bolton. Many psychopathic people are part of these secret societies that are in the shadows. And I did want to remind you, Ernest, one more psychopathic statement or person. You know, Lyndon Johnson, again, with civil rights, advanced many public policies, but at the same time, he was the man who coined the phrase, "He who controls the weather controls the world." And it's frightening, the implications of that statement. He said it in a way where he sounds like he's insane, as he said it to a graduating ceremony. But
yeah, again, yeah, that was amazing. That's a very profound quote from, you know, a man of power and from the seat of the state. That's a very profound quote that you can't take lightly. Well, I should say you better not take lightly, you know. So
yeah,
I agree.
Yep. And another way to look at it, too, is water is what we're made out of. And the hydrologic cycle is weather. So if you're messing with that, whether it be the microwave technology, which affects our water in our bodies, like 5G technology, which is enough for crowd control, yet it's being promoted. That people, I encourage you listening to investigate 5G. And, you know, the dangers. That's one example. But Edward Bernays, getting back to him, he coined this phrase at a very early time. I can't say when, 1920 maybe, but it's make the world safe for democracy. This guy was good at PR. He invented public relations. Beyond just warmongering, there's also peacetime, whether it's war or peace. You can influence the psychology of the masses. He was a psychological engineer. And he used three methods to manipulate, or, you know, that were his formula for moving the masses. One is the association with subconscious fears and desires that all individuals have. They tap into that. You know, we long to be famous. Like when I do the treasure hunt for the medallion, I dream of finding it and getting notoriety and glamour, you know, being on the photo of the Pioneer Press. You know, we long to be unique, but we have fears that we're unworthy. So, you know, these are individual things that can be exploited. Number two, influence of opinion leaders and perceived authority figures. Number three, initiating the contagion of behavior through social conformity, media, politics, advertisement, military. It was Joseph Goebbels, Goebbels, that was Hitler's propaganda chief, took notice, you know, in the World War II time, of Edward Bernays' literature on propaganda. Bernays wrote the book on propaganda, crystallizing public opinion. So it's interesting to note that, you know, the U.S. and the Germans, there's strong connections that got us into World War II with some of our same leaders who, you know, were idolized here, but yet underhandedly tied with the Nazi Germany. Well, to get into a more entertaining example of Edward Bernays, he, realizing that in peacetime you can influence the business and marketing, this is an example of how you can make things happen fast. And what he did, there was an Easter parade to be done in New York, I believe. He found some young debutantes, some women who were all for suffragettes for women's rights. And having known them, he got a small group together and he said, look, let's march in this parade. And I'm going to use the phrase torches of freedom. What's a torch of freedom? It's a cigarette. Back in those times, women were not allowed to smoke, or they were discouraged from smoking. That wasn't a womanly thing to do at the time. So he had these women reach out to the media and the radio. And with his help, public relations firms, to promote this Easter parade so that when the time came, there was going to be a media blitz because they had this special thing about torches of freedom. So sure enough, everybody showed up, just as Edward Bernays planned. The women marched with their boyfriends, and they were puffing away on those freedom torches of freedom. And it spread like wildfire throughout the country. Just within days, women were lighting up cigarettes and just defiantly smoking because it was, you know, our right to do so. We're women. And imagine the impact, the money that was made by, you know, the tobacco industry. There is an example how, you know, just one event can spark an incredible change in behavior. So, and on those same lines, Ernest, that's what gives me some optimism about exposing things like 9/11 and climate engineering. It's going to take more than the internet, obviously, or even radio programs. It's only when, you know, there's a critical mass out there, when people start marching, where you physically are out there and making a scene that the media can't avoid. That's when, you know, the spark light the tinder that lights the fire that I think can really make people start waking up to what we, you know, to the crisis we face. Do you follow?
Absolutely.
I was just
my thing is try to hear a whole matter before I open up my mouth, you know, especially when I'm not familiar with it, you know.
Right.
I try to get it, because the thing is this is that if you don't know, you know, sometimes people talk and they don't know what the hell they're talking about, and they just need to shut up and listen, especially when somebody else is talking and they do know what they're talking about. Some people just talk to be heard. I don't do that because that's a waste of time.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to get what it is that you're trying to get across. And if it's, you know, and if it's important, if there's something in there that I can, you know, actually make way on, then I'm going to. But for the most part, I'm sitting here listening, man. This is amazing stuff.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Ernest. You do have to pause. You know, it's too easy to rush through and nod your head and say yes, yes, yes. You have to be a student. You have to absorb and sponge in, you know, information.
Right.
So, anyways, it as I was saying, I've said a lot of dark things with the James Baldwin quote and so forth. But to me, how exciting to be a part when we look at our forefathers and our foremothers and their struggles, whether they're labor struggles, struggles for economic justice, wars that, you know, we fought for just causes, definitely World War II had to be fought. We're at this critical juncture. I look to the Hopi prophecy of Prophecy Rocks, where we're at either an ending point or we start turning back toward a more a world that's more in harmony with nature, that we can't just account for the common good of human relations. We have to account for the greater good, as the earth gives us all. We don't own it. We belong to the earth. We don't own the earth. It's not a property. It's not a resource to exploit. That this perpetual growth exploitation can't go on. So, all right. Getting back to Edward Bernays, what else can I say? It's easier not to look at my notes because sometimes I get lost. But I can say this much. He met with people from business, movers and shakers of society, basically, and they had an inquiry about how to set about public policy. And the outcome of that was something he basically invented, the Council on Foreign Relations. So whether it's Dick Cheney, Hillary Clinton, John Bolton, or some past people like the Dulles brothers, who were so influential in the Vietnam War, as war hawks, so to speak, all throughout, the time since Woodrow Wilson, members of this Council on Foreign Relations have been able to meet, and it's a secret organization that does form policies. People like Zbigniew Brzezinski, who President Obama said, he was a mentor and praised him. Yet it was people like the likes of Brzezinski who had such influence on Afghanistan and, the warmongering to get the Afghanistan war going, against the Soviets. I lose my train of thought a little bit, but on a tangent, Brzezinski was the one who said it's easier to kill 1 million people now than to have a democracy of those same 1 million. Whereas in the past, it was easier to have democracy of 1 million people than to kill 1 million people. Some of these statements by the Rockefellers, by Brzezinski, people that have been in this Council on Foreign Relations, they state what their goals are. And the implications are kind of alarming. With Rockefeller, for example, he says we should have 500,000 people on this earth. That would be just ideal. And, what does that imply? That we need to cull most of the population. We somehow need to get rid of them. They're inferior. We don't need them. So it's part of that psychopathic mindset that comes out. The other thing
I got a question
about Edward. Yes, go ahead.
What did Freud have to do with that mindset?
I'm sorry, what? Can you repeat that?
What did Sigmund Freud have to do with that mindset? Or even having a thought on it?
Okay, that's a good question. Sigmund Freud was a psychologist. So in the whole field of psychology, it's kind of hard for me to connect, but it's just the fact that Edward Bernays was a psychological engineer, so to speak. Freud found some principles of psychology, but it was his nephew, Edward Bernays, that was able to apply on a large scale the kind of psychology that can move the masses or trick the masses into going, directions that the people, the inaccessible elite, want them to go. And there's a quote, if I can find it, yeah, and back, from Edward Bernays that's justifies this so-called invisible government. And it goes as follows. The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinion of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our government. And this was in Edward Bernays' book, Propaganda, written in 1928 or published in 1928. So just think, we have a democratically elected leader in Guatemala, Jacobo Arbenz. It was Edward Bernays who, in this shadow government of his that apparently thinks this is all about democracy, creates this lie that Arbenz government of Guatemala was in league with the communists of the Soviet Union, that they had relations and they were working together, that the communists were infiltrating this country, which presents a threat to the United States, and so forth and so on. And Arbenz was overthrown with the help of the CIA, and the United Fruit Company.
So wait a minute, hold on.
Now,
I got a
okay,
Rob. Not to disrupt your flow of things. You telling me that whole mm-hmm. communist movement from the 30s when they was witch hunting people and deporting people and exiling people from this country was all propaganda. It was all a big lie, and it was just made up.
Right. That's an example that, it was spread with the McCarthy era. So it was at that time when it was in a fever of this communist scare that it's a threat to democracy and so forth, that these evil acts happened. Arbenz was a democratically elected leader and was doing well for the people of this country. He was a great leader. And the Soviets, this is in the film footage of Ruling from the Shadows. If you Google that and get that video, you'll find it. The communist diplomat went crazy. He said, "We have nothing to do with this country. We don't have relations with this country. This is a lie." The Soviets were outraged that here's, this violence on a country was now used as an excuse for democracy to overthrow that they're evil when they had nothing to do with it. So it's a very powerful example of this psychopath named Edward Bernays, how, he had this ego or whatever it was that said, "I'm above things, and I know how best to do things and how society should be structured. So I will, since I'm above it all, I'm going to play puppets. I'm going to make people my puppets." It's just a very sick man. And in this video, you'll see this old man with kind of a cancerous face. He must have been 90 years old. He was interviewing about his life, how he, performed this Council on Foreign Relations, how he acted to continue, how he acted to structure the secret proceedings of this council. Another really alarming part of that video is with members of that council, Hillary Clinton and Robert Baker, both secretaries of state. They spoke with Charlie Rose on public television about what it was like to be a secretary and some of their thoughts and reflections. So when they talked about Iran, they both laughed. they smirked. It's like, what's the plan here? Oh, it's there, you know, it's high time they get overthrown. And they kind of wink at each other. And Charlie Rose, you know, looks at Hillary, and she's laughing kind of in a hysterical manner. Like it's funny, like an inside joke. And again, you know, a long-term plan of the power structure of the United States has been to spread our influence over the Middle East with Iran as a focal point. You know, Iran has always been in the news. And you think about it, what has Iran done? What countries have they invaded? None in the last 200 years. Do they have nuclear power? Maybe so, you know, maybe just for energy use. But to create this threat that they're going to destroy us, well, that it's so hypocritical. Look at how many countries we've intervened and exploited and been involved in. So it's really a double standard, in my opinion, when we always seem to rail at Iran as being so evil, when, you know, look at our own clothes, look at our own selves. You know, we've gone on intervening, whether by proxy or hot war, in so many countries. I just can't. I get a little upset. So, all right, going on.
But isn't that just the way of America? You know, always sticking their nose in other people's business, trying to pretend like we're taking a high road when the whole while we just trying to undermine an already set world that's been existing for thousands of years, and now it needs to be fine-tuned by us. By this world that only existed for the most part, 200 years. You know, in fact, it really didn't have a real government until, you know, the 17th century. So how is it going to, you know, now teach another world? It's like a child talking to an adult or inside of an adult conversation, you know.
Right.
That's all I get out of it. When I hear the states being mentioned in world policies and the world that's at large, and I think about it, you know, like, for instance, Afghanistan and places like that. Those are old worlds. They've been around for thousands of years. Now, all of a sudden, we need to teach them our philosophy. Like, you have something to say to an adult. I don't know. It's just...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's a good point, because at the time of 9/11, I go back in my life where I was working, and I was among many Muslim people. And as we discussed in previous dialogues on your radio program, there's a sense of this longevity of people before, you know, advanced civilization, even before the Bible, of tribes. And one thing I learned out of 9/11, when I, you know, talked in good friendship with people that, you know, had to be feeling very insecure, you know, because they were from other countries, they were Muslim, they were dark-skinned, whatever you want to say. Many people pointed the finger of blame just by looking at them. You know, they were saying to me, it's all, why don't they go to the tribal people and find the culprits? Because within the tribe, there's a trust, there's a cohesiveness, that they don't want this ugliness that's happened with the World Trade Center. They're against it. And they have the ability to share openly. If you talk to them, you can get the intelligence to get the culprits to 9/11. It was really interesting, this tribal concept that, in a way, I look at tribalism, not at this national empire level, that tribes can be smaller, local, resilient, many different ways to do things, if people, you know, are banded in smaller tribes, then we wouldn't have these megalithic power structures that are so threatening to life on the planet. So it seems in some ways, you know, when I look to an answer beyond, you know, an optimistic answer, that in some ways we have to break up into smaller units and be more self-reliant, cooperate with each other, but, you know, have our own bounds. Kind of, you know, there were many different tribes as the European settlers came in. There were many different Native American tribes, pretty much, you know, in harmony with the earth, not ravaging the earth. And that's not to say that civilization, the European immigration was wrong. You know, the outcomes of technology, there's many great things, but to find that balance so that we have technology that we're stewards of the earth, not owners of the earth. We're not exploiters of the earth. We don't use science to our demise. We use science, you know, to promote life. So, gotta.
As well as should be.
Yeah. At this point in time, I've covered Bernays as well as I can. There's many more notes about the long path of people that have been members of this group. And one of Walter Lippmann was also influential in this group around the time of Wilson. And again, he was one of the overseers of the formation of the Council on Foreign Relations. But I guess I have to leave it. My mind is just too scrambled to go further into that. And since we're getting close to the end of the time, I believe, of the interview, yeah, I wanted to play something from John Bolton, because I think of School of the Americas, where basically the United States, I want to make clear, has trained terrorists. We use terrorists in Syria, and we fund them. I think I'll challenge people to investigate that if you don't believe that. But ISIS and so forth has had a lot of our help because they sowed division. The heinous acts that they do, we can point the finger at the Syrian government as the cause, when yet it's the terrorists that we fund to do those heinous acts. So it's again, getting after Syria to get at their resources and, you know, world imperialism. But John Bolton, if I can find it real quick, and that will kind of sum up, I think, what we can do for this hour, you know, power structure discussion. Let's see if I can find it here. Okay. Yeah. I'll take my hearing device off and get it closer. Hopefully this can be heard pretty well. This is John Bolton. Dane Wigington talks. Excuse me. Okay, here we go.
By early November, they will be in full force. After that, the United States will pursue additional sanctions, tougher than ever before, to counter the entire range of Iran's malign conduct. Any individual or entity who fails to comply with these sanctions will face severe consequences. I ask all members of the Security Council to work with the United States to ensure the Iranian regime changes its behavior, just like Saddam Hussein's non-existent weapons of mass destruction. What a pack of power structure propagated lies pushed by one administration after another. No matter what opinion one has about Iran, here are the facts, not opinion. Iran has not invaded any other country for well over 200 years. 200. The United States of America has in as many years, 100 years, not 200, 100. USA has laid waste to the Middle East in the relentless pursuit of resources to fuel what is exponentially the largest military juggernaut in the history of the world. And for the record, that is what the constant demonization of Iran is all about. The empire's pursuit of resources and, of course, the enforcement of the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency, which allows the empire to print endless amounts of funds for fueling its global aggression. To our U.S. military brothers and sisters, please, I appeal to you, don't continue to be unquestioning order followers. Please consider what you are a part of. Please consider that you have a responsibility, not just to the U.S. population, but to the web of life and the world. In regard to the ongoing agenda of the U.S. empire to take down Iran, here's a reminder on what war criminal John Bolton had to say recently. Listen carefully again. This policy review can understand what we want the outcome to be and what, in the United States, many of us are working toward. The outcome of the president's policy review should be to determine that the Ayatollah Khomeini 1979 revolution will not last until the story is perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're probably gonna have to do a sound check before we go on, but I can hear bits and pieces of it really good, and then it'll go into a mold, and then sometimes it'll get feedback. But we heard.
Yeah.
What I heard, it was talking about. He said something about that the war over there in what was that, Baghdad or something. He was referring. Said that it was that was the big one of the biggest crocs of whatever, you know.
Yeah, Dean Wiggins.
You know, Saddam
yeah,
Hussein was a big hoax.
I had lost
you know,
excuse me, I lost my place a bit. So first was Donald Trump, then Dean broke in and spoke as you were just saying, and then finally John Bolton, since it was poor reception, spoke about the overthrow of Iran in 2019. I wish I just had shut off my Bluetooth, and that might have worked. But
we'll do a sound check on the next time. But I really like, you know, we're gonna if anything, give us the title of that again, and we could just upload it from YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah, we can upload it from YouTube, and so anybody want to listen to it from YouTube, they can hear a clear conversation from it.
Oh, good. Super. Yeah, I'm working on my website now to get some of my writings and the radio programs we do to get them on my website.
Sounds excellent. What was the title of the interview?
Well, the interview was Power Structure, Mystery, and History.
No. The segment you just played.
Oh, it was what it is to have access. It was in about the 20th minute of September 29, 2018 radio hour of Dean Wigington. So you can put in the search section September 29, 2018, and it'll bring you right to that discussion at the 20th minute. It's an hour-long radio. It's
okay.
A weekly
Saturday
radio.
The 20th minute of, yeah.
Yeah. It's
the 20th minute.
There's,
One more time, Rob.
Yeah, it's the September 29th, 2018 radio program. There's an icon on the right column where you can find it that way. Otherwise, you can just, in the search section, which is on the top, you can just type in September 29, 2018, and click that. That'll get you right to it.
Did you find it? The guy, his name, Dean Wigington. Okay. All right, we're going to find him, and we're going to upload the speech. Also, we're going to upload the Kennedy speech on the Hidden Secrets of the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to put both of those on the thread, and I'm going to also put that Myron Fagan on there as well. So that next time, you know, people would get a really good understanding, and I'm going to inbox you that conversation too. But people can get a really good understanding. What are you talking about, the foundation of where you're coming from, and why this is very necessary? And this is ongoing, and it's going to be around until the coming of the Lord.
That is correct. Now, again, it's reading that book about the Bible has helped me, the book Ishmael. It's helped me to understand how things have come to be this way.
Well, like I said, brother, great research, great topic, and can't wait to hear the rest of it, Rob. So when are the next time you're going to be back with us? Okay.
Well, I've got a bit of a conflict, you know, usually 2 weeks from now on Wednesday, I have a meeting. So if it's possible on Tuesday before.
All right. Well, then just give me a heads up and we can just, get it all set up that you will be here instead of Wednesday, it'll be Tuesday.
Yeah, we'll certainly do that. And, my salutes to both of us, Ernest. We both work. We both scramble to organize these things. A little disorganization at times, but I know people are with us.
That's right. That's right. That's right, bro. Yeah.
And we get more polished. Yeah. So thanks so much for the opportunity. It's been a joy to share some of these deep topics.
I can't wait to pick up in the future one. All right, everyone. Well, you just heard it from Brother Rob Christensen. Another insightful topic. We got to be more conscious of the world at large. You can't just take everything for face value. You got to research it. Sometimes, you know, your research is going to take you back 30 or 40, maybe 50 or 60 years. You know, just to get to the foundations of it. So don't get discouraged. If you're going in that direction, it's a reason why you're researching. And it's the information that you find is what's going to make everything worth the while. So. Once again, Rob, thank you. Thank you again. And everyone, that's another very informative episode of Visible Secrets and Invisible Powers. This segment was Power Structure, Power Structure History, and Hidden Mysteries. You got to be careful, man. Pay attention to the world at large. You have people that are playing psychological games on your mind to control your thought and who you are. So please be careful and be conscious and let God rule your spirit and be the only ruler of your own mind and body. So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. As we say here at the Sounds of Living Waters, read your Bibles. And once again, Rob Christensen, thank you again, and looking forward to
in another dynamic topic from you again. God bless you.
All right, Ernest. And may the sun shine soon.
Agreed. Thank you. Thank you. Likewise.
All right.
Everyone.
Yeah. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
God bless.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.